Chapter 13. But things were no better when Mr. Winter paged Ryan out of phys ed. He was gone by lunch. I stopped by Mr. Winter's office on my way to the cafeteria. Ryan's dad called the school, something about a meeting with the doctor. I nodded mutely. Ryan's going to need you more than ever in the next little while, Joel. I tried Ryan's home number after school, but nobody answered. Lise dropped me off at the rink at 5:30. Good luck, she called. Break a leg. I raised my eyebrows at her. Hockey was not her strong point. But it was ours that night. We weren't spectacular, but we didn't have to be. We just played a good, solid game and ended up with a 2-1 win over the Patriots. Knowles was delighted that we hadn't let Ryan's absence put us off our game, but I knew the guys credited the stuff with the win. I had been right in not weaning them off now. Once Ryan was back, it would be another story. Ryan was home when I telephoned. "We won," I told him. "Me too," he exclaimed. "What?" Dad's finally agreed. I waited silently. He's asked the doctors to take her out of the home. I wasn't sure if that was good or bad. When did he change his mind? After the nurses told him she woke up screaming and flailing this morning. Wow. She didn't want to be there. She didn't want to be in that place. No? No. That's why she screamed so much. I'm sure of it. He rushed on. That shows she still knows what's going on, Joel. She still has some willpower deep down inside her. If they can just find it somehow. For the first time in years, Ryan was seeing a glimmer of hope. They will, I said, suddenly catching his optimism. But finding it wasn't going to be easy. They moved Mrs. Davis back to the hospital, but the first week was a disaster with the doctors fiddling with medication and diet. Mr. Davis almost threw in the towel right then and there, but Ryan talked him out of it. I'd rarely seen Ryan so determined, except on the ice, of course. We won our game on the weekend, and Knowles announced that he'd managed to get some early morning ice twice a week at an arena just down the road from the school. He wasn't going to make it official practice time because he couldn't be there himself, but if we wanted to show up and skate before classes, it would definitely help our training for Denver. I passed on the information to Ryan, and he reminded me of the NHL game tickets for the 12th. I didn't make it to any early morning skates that week, but I did get to the NHL game with Ryan, and it was a great one. The score was tied after two periods when we headed out to the kiosks for some more popcorn. "Ryan?" asked a voice at our side. I turned to find myself staring at Phil Kiefler. "Mr. Kiefler, hello," managed Ryan, juggling his popcorn. "You boys enjoying the game?" "It's great," Ryan indicated me over his shoulder. "This is Joel Switson. He plays on my line." I said a quick hello. "Where are you sitting?" Phil asked. "Section 226, in the nosebleed section. But at least we're here." Somebody bumped us from behind and we stepped aside. "If you like, you can join me in our box. We've got a couple of spare seats up there." I caught Ryan's eye. "Cool," we chorused and followed Phil back to his box seats. I don't know if it was sitting in a box seat with Phil Kiefler, but the game really picked up in the third period, and we were all screaming and hollering right through the overtime, which ended in a 3-3 tie. "I think they ought to go to penalty shots like they do in the Olympics," I said as we maneuvered through the crowd. We were almost down on ground level. "Do you boys have a ride home?" asked Phil. "Dad will pick us up at the train station." Phil pulled on his coat. "You live in the Southwest, don't you?" We nodded. "So do I. Give your dad a quick call and tell him I'll drop you off." Phil Kiefler was one decent guy. I was totally convinced by the time he dropped me off at my house and continued on to Ryan's. The team turned green with envy when Ryan and I filled them in about the NHL game at lunch the next day. "And that's not all," whispered Ryan to me after I'd done my best to impress them with every detail of Phil Kiefler that I could remember. "Dad invited him in for a drink when he dropped me off, and he stayed. Naturally, I had to go to bed, but I heard the door around 11:30, so he must have stayed until then." "What did they talk about?" "I couldn't hear much. Something about helping out, sort of like an assistant coach, I think." "Really? I could hardly wrap my head around having Phil Kiefler as a coach." Ryan shrugged. "I'm not sure, and Dad wouldn't say much this morning." "Figures." I quizzed him all the way to the doctor's office, but I couldn't get anything out of him. "Oh yeah, what did the doctor say about your ribs?" "I can start skating any time. Want to come tomorrow before school?" I winced. That meant giving up an hour and a half sleep, but I hadn't actually made it to any of the morning skates yet. "Sure," I muttered. "I'll see if Dad will drop us off on his way to work." We were the only two there the next morning. Ryan was ecstatic to have the blaze back on, and even I had to admit that there was something peaceful about an almost empty hockey rink early in the morning. We were in high spirits as we traipsed down the road to school, our skates slung over our shoulders. "So, have you run into Valerie lately?" asked Ryan, kicking a snowball onto the road. I shook my head. I hadn't, and I figured there was probably by design on her part. "I don't think I'm on her top 10 list. You never know with females. They surprise you all the time. Since when did you get to be such an expert on girls?" Ryan shrugged. "There are some things I just know." "Oh, yeah? Like what?" "Like that stuff about girls surprising you." I stomped hard in a snowdrift. "If Valerie wants anything to do with me ever again, I'll be more than surprised." We had reached the school and we were climbing the staircase. "Maybe she just needs a little incentive," suggested Ryan. "What kind of incentive?" "An encouraging note on her locker, say?" I shook my head. "Don't even think about it," I told him. But I couldn't shake Valerie from my mind all day. I hadn't seen her with any hot new boyfriend, but that didn't mean she didn't have one. In fact, I hadn't seen her at all lately, maybe because she was spending all her time with a hot new boyfriend. I resolved to go back to trying to forget her. Instead, I concentrated on my hockey, or at least I tried to. We were up against the Panthers, and Corey Martinson, and the whole idea of Valerie having a boyfriend made me snarly. "Wow, Switzen, where did that intensity come from?" observed Knowles after our first shift. "Great shift. In fact, we had a great period and came off with a two-goal lead." "Nice work, Joel," shouted Neil, coming into the dressing room behind me. He glanced around to see if Knowles was in yet. "Did you take a double dose of the stuff last night?" "Actually, I didn't take any." The words were out before I even realized what I'd said. "What do you mean?" asked Justin. "I forgot," I said weakly, looking around at the guys. "I mean, there's probably still enough in my system from last game." That seemed to satisfy them. We dropped the subject as Knowles joined us, but we didn't drop our fast-skating, quick-shooting style of hockey, and that was beating the Panthers. They got a lucky goal halfway through the second period, but we were already up by 3 at that stage, and there was no way they were going to catch us. We played defensive hockey in the third period until the buzzer sounded. "Are you skating tomorrow morning?" Ryan asked when I called to tell him the news. "I think I'll give it a miss. I'm pretty wiped." "That's understandable," he said. "You played tonight." That wouldn't have stopped Ryan, and I knew it, but then I wasn't Ryan. Still, I played a good game tonight, thanks to Valerie. I thought about calling her for about half a second, but Lise was on the phone anyway. Still, I couldn't seem to get Valerie out of my mind. Every time Lise mentioned the skating showcase or I saw her friends, she came flowing back into my head. On the way to school the next day, I took the long way through the hallway her locker was in, but I didn't even catch a glimpse of her. I was contemplating the whole thing when Ryan came racing down the hall. "You're late," I said. The first bell had just rung. Ryan dumped his skates into his locker, grabbed his books, and slammed the door shut. "He was at the rink this morning," he exclaimed. I was already heading to class. "Who?" Just then, the late bell rang, and I sprinted off, Ryan running in the other direction. "I'll tell you at lunch," he hollered over his shoulder. "Phil Kiefler was at the rink this morning?" I echoed, my sandwich halfway to my mouth. "Why?" Ryan shrugged. "He said he came for a skate." "At 6:30 in the morning?" "Yeah, I think this must have been what he was talking about. You know, about helping out as an assistant coach of sorts. We were the only ones there." Ryan crushed his milk carton. "You should come next time." I made a mental note to do just that. But the bed was the perfect temperature when the alarm went off at 5:45 2 days later. One look at Ryan that morning told me I should have gone. Phil Kiefler had been there again. "Boy, the guys aren't going to believe this," I said over lunch. "Did you tell anyone?" asked Ryan. "Not yet," I said. "Why?" "Nothing, really. It's kind of nice having the whole ring to ourselves. He's got some great moves, you know." I studied Ryan again. I hadn't seen him this upbeat since his dad had decided to pull his mom out of the home. I decided to keep my mouth shut about Phil Kiefler. "How are the ribs?" I asked. "I can feel them once in a while when I skate, but I think they're on the mend. I've got to go back and see the doctor in another week or so." "I hope he lets you come back early. We could use you," I said, recalling our last game. We had gone up by 2 early, but only just held on to the tie. "You guys are doing okay." I chewed thoughtfully. "How's your mom doing?" Ryan hadn't said much about her lately, and I hadn't asked. "Good," said Ryan. "The doctor seemed to have a handle on her diet and doses. It'll be a while before we really know if treatment's going to work, though." He paused. "Phil says that everybody reacts differently to medication, so there's no way of knowing until you try." I raised my eyebrows. Maybe that's why Ryan hadn't said much about his mom lately. Maybe he'd found another confidant. "I'm going up to see her after school. If That's about the only good thing about not being able to play these days. I get more time at the hospital. Does she know you? Ryan shrugged. Hard to know. Still, she seems more content, you know, more peaceful. Lee smiled when I relayed Ryan's information. That's great, she said. It's nice to know someone is. I looked sideways at her. How about you? Are you going crazy trying to keep your New Year's resolutions? She sighed. Almost. I think I might if it wasn't for this showcase. Oh yeah, how's that going? Come up with any more lunchbox specials? She shook her head. No, the girls weren't as excited about that as you were. We're working on some other plans. Like? Sorry, that's still confidential information, she grinned. But you'll be the first to know when it's public knowledge. That's a cop-out. Maybe, but let's just say that we're working on something that will help you guys appreciate synchronized skating and the girls appreciate hockey more. Lee wasn't saying anything else, and all I could do was imagine what a mind like hers, left to she, might come up with. I dropped my books on my desk and stared at the little slip of paper tucked underneath my lamp, Valerie's phone number. I should have tossed it ages ago, but I hadn't. After all, I hadn't actually seen her with anyone else. I picked up the phone and dialed before I could talk myself out of it. Hello, said a woman's voice. Can I speak to Valerie, please? I could hear my heart pounding. I'm sorry, she's asleep right now. The voice paused. She just came home yesterday, and she's still very tired. Home? Yes, she's been in the hospital. In the hospital? No wonder I hadn't seen her at school. With meningitis, but she's much better now. The voice paused again. Can I give her a message? Meningitis? I'd heard of it. No, thank you. I'm sorry. I didn't know she was sick. I stammered. It all happened rather suddenly. I hope she feels better, I managed before hanging up. I sat staring at the receiver. Valerie had been in the hospital, and I hadn't even known. I could have sent her flowers or something. I was still staring at the receiver when Ryan called. Hey, Joel, guess what? You're never going to believe this. There appeared to be quite a few things I couldn't believe these days. Mom looked at me today. When I first walked in and said hello, she looked up just like she knew me. He paused. It didn't last long, but I swear she knew who I was. That's great, I said. How's the treatment going? I didn't see the doctor today, and the nurses always just say she's doing fine. I tried to picture Mrs. Davis in the hospital. Maybe it was the same hospital Valerie had been in. Valerie was in the hospital with meningitis, I blurted out. What? How did you find that out? I called her, and her mom told me. At least I thought it was her mom. Wow, what are you going to do? What do you mean? Well, you should do something, don't you think? Like what? I don't know. Send her flowers or something. I guess. I thought you sent those to the hospital. Ryan considered this for a moment. Maybe a card or something? Just then, Dad hollered up to me. He wanted to call Angie before he went out. I have to go. I'll think about it. And I did, all night long, while I should have been thinking about my homework. Finally, Lee stuck her head in my room and informed me that it was getting late. She was already in the teal house coat Dad had given her, and the color looked great on her. Do we have any of those sympathy cards? I asked, trying to sound casual. Sympathy cards? Did someone die? No, you know, the kinds you send when someone's sick. Oh, you mean get well cards. She disappeared, and I could hear her rummaging in the cupboard. She came back with a box full of cards. Who's it for? She asked. I debated about saying anything. The last thing I needed was Lee's harassing me about a girl, especially a girl who possibly didn't want anything to do with me. A friend who was in the hospital with meningitis. Lee's winced. Ooh, that can be pretty serious, she said, leafing through the cards. Was it bad? Yeah, I guess so. Lee's threw a few cards on my bed. Sending cards pretty thoughtful, she pointed at the cards. Do you like any of this? I looked at the windmills, sailboats, and race cars on the front of the cards. Don't you have anything with flowers or... I didn't have the faintest idea what they put on Get Well cards. She dug in the back of the box. You didn't tell me it was for a girl, she said matter-of-factly. How's this one? She held one up with a cute four scene on it. Thanks, I said, taking the card from her. I wondered if she knew that I was just as thankful for her not making a big deal about it. If you address it, I'll mail it tomorrow, Lee said on the way out. Address it? I didn't even know where Valerie lived. I traipsed downstairs and opened the phone book to the Shermans. There must have been 100 of them. So much for that idea. Dad came into the kitchen just as I was heading up to bed. It's getting late, Joel. You'd better get some sleep, especially if you're coming with me tomorrow. I looked up quizzically at him. Didn't you say that you wanted to skate before school? He rubbed his eyes. In fact, I think I'd better get some sleep tonight as well. I've had this horrible headache all day. Ryan hadn't said anything about skating tomorrow, but I knew he'd be there. We did have a practice tomorrow night, though. Still, there was always a chance that Phil Kiefler would show up in the morning. But even Phil Kiefler couldn't make me roll out of bed an hour and a half earlier than usual. And it was just as well, because when I did head down for breakfast, Lise informed me that Dad wasn't up either. He'd been up half the night with a wicked headache. I hope it's not the flu they've got in the States, Lise said, throwing the newspaper down in front of me. It's already killed 22 people. I glanced at the article. It doesn't say anything about having it in Canada. Not yet. It probably wouldn't survive here anyway, I pointed out. Look at the temperature. It had dropped to minus 31 degrees Celsius last night. I got to school just as Ryan arrived, his skates slung over his shoulder. Should have come, Switzerland. Bill's been showing me some good moves. Next time, I shouted after him. But the cold spell remained, and the idea of getting up early to brave the freezing cold temperatures was just too much for me. Besides, things were busy. Dad was back at work, Angie got home for the weekend, and Lise was obviously up to something because she was always dashing off to meetings, making notes, and answering phone calls. Between practices, games, and weekly meetings, I was having trouble just fitting my schoolwork in. Ryan was spending as much time as possible at the hospital with his mom, and things seemed to be on the upswing. Joel, she knows me, he proclaimed one day at lunch. I'm absolutely positive. Has she said anything to you? Not yet, but Phil says these things take time. I scrutinized Ryan. He had found another confidant, and I supposed I ought to feel relieved, but I didn't. Things were different for Ryan now, and somehow I wasn't a part of it. Maybe it was just that we hadn't played together for so long. In fact, I'd hardly seen Ryan outside of school. There wasn't any need for him to pick up his stuff if he wasn't playing, and the doctors had told him to wait at least another week to practice. I shifted uneasily. Things would be back to normal as soon as he was back on the ice. In the meantime, he kept me posted on his mom's progress, and I kept him up to date on how the Falcons were doing without him. We'd tied a game that we should have won, but at least we hadn't lost anymore. Things were looking really good for a shot at the city championships, and it was the talk of our weekly meetings. Here's to a near-perfect record, roared Jared, raising his glass over the remnants of the pizza. We clinked glasses. Here's to Switzen, exclaimed Scott, toasting me. Here's to Switzen and his magic stuff. The guys chuckled, and I felt my insides flip-flop like they did every time I touched the sinus minus box, handed out the little Ziploc bags, or even thought about it. Valentine's Day was only 2 weeks away. Joel, she smiled at Dad today. Joel's voice was wild with excitement. She smiled at him, Joel. And you know what else? He continued before I could reply. She refused to eat her green beans tonight. I sat silently on the other end of the phone, trying to digest this last bit of information. Ryan laughed. Mom hates green beans, always has. She pushed them away today, wouldn't eat them, and wouldn't let the nurse feed her any. He paused. She's coming back, Joel. I just know it. I marveled at the change in Ryan over the past weeks. His mom had a lot to do with it, but it was more than that. He seemed to have developed a new optimism about life, even without his hockey, and I was pretty sure that had something to do with Phil Kiefler. Tomorrow, no matter what, I was going to make that early skate. And I did. Dad dropped me off at the arena on his way to work. How are you going to skate with your eyes closed? He asked. I didn't answer. I was already late, but it didn't matter. None of the other guys ever showed up. I staggered into the arena. Ryan and Phil were at center ice, doing some kind of one-on-one drill. Phil pointed the puck, waved his arms a few times in circles, and then squared off against Ryan. I watched transfixed as Ryan shadowed Phil, never losing him no matter how many dekes or turns he made. Finally, Phil stopped at center ice. Ryan flashed his trademark grin, and the rink men, who had been watching from behind the glass, applauded. I knew right there, then and there, that I wasn't going to make this morning skate either. It would take me weeks to learn to shadow a man like that. After all, it had taken Phil weeks to teach Ryan. I turned and headed for the doors. With any luck, the library would be open and I could catch a few Z's in a cubicle.